This is KSFR News. I'm Bryce Stix. In this week's update on the happenings of New Mexico's political world, I sat down with New Mexico Political Report's Andy Lyman to talk about the swaths of Republicans announcing their candidacy for next year's gubernatorial election for governor of New Mexico. Plus, a potential lawsuit may be brewing for New Mexico Supreme Court after the state's GOP failed to call an extraordinary session to limit Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's emergency powers. The claim, misuse of COVID-19 funds. Here's that conversation.
I'm joined by Andy Lyman for this week's discussion about New Mexico political coverage. He's the man behind cannabis coverage over at NewMexicoPoliticalReport.com, as usual. And he's also the co-host of Growing Forward, and that's a podcast that explores the cannabis industry in New Mexico. As always, Andy, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Bryce.
Okay, so to start this conversation off, let's talk about the crazy amount of Republicans announcing their candidacy for New Mexico's next gubernatorial election next year as governor. As it stands, five candidates from the Republicans have announced. Some might come on later on in the year. Andy, can you quickly go through the list of who's running as of right now?
So I'm not specifically familiar with everybody. There's Karen Bodoni, County Commissioner from Sandoval County, Jay Block, Tim Walsh is apparently a retired teacher, but also worked under former Republican Governor Gary Johnson. And then a gentleman, an investment advisor named Greg Zanetti. Well, I'm sorry, I almost forgot the biggest one is State Representative Rebecca Dow is the latest one to announce. She sort of has probably the most name recognition. She's been in the House for maybe 5 years. She's been there for a while. She's also leadership in the State House. People were sort of anticipating this coming up. The next biggest name, is Commissioner Jay Block, who also has been in the news, pretty outspoken against the administration. He's pretty recognizable too, including all of them together. I think the important thing to remember is, like you mentioned, there could be some more coming in. There's still some things that have to happen before they become official, not even just the primary, but just filing and basically coming up with money. And this is sort of what happens is people put their name out there in hopes of their supporters and their supporters' friends will come and give them money, because you kind of have to ramp up to this filing thing. Once you file, you hit the ground running. You just have to kind of be out there. And I also have seen in various other races like this, big time governor races or even mayoral races, that sometimes the folks that are coming in with a whole bunch of money maybe just might jump out of the race before they even file. Now, I would not speculate who's going to do that yet, but definitely it's big news that Representative Dow jumped in.
And our current governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, seems to be trying to get on everyone's good side because she is running for re-election next year. And she's been trying to gain favor with people, as of course, with her handling of the pandemic. And in a recent poll by KOB4 and SurveyUSA, the governor had a solid 50% approval rating for New Mexico across the board. And always, we take polls with a grain of salt. And on the flip side, 32% disapproved and 18% are on the fence, not sure where they stand. This may seem like an obvious answer, but for those who might not know, why are there so many Republicans disapproving of the governor? And especially, why are so many Republicans jumping into this race, and why are they so fired up about this election?
I think the pandemic and the way the state dealt with this stuff is going to play a big part in her run for re-election, as well as anybody else running to unseat her. From the Republican parties, the local Republican party's standpoint is that she had the state shut down on lockdown for way too long, that it's way too late, that our economy is sort of tanking because of that. The flip side of the Republicans' view of this pandemic is that a lot of people do look at the way the governor did it, and she handled it differently than a lot of other states, where she went really hard on the, we're going to shut things down and sort of keep people inside and separated so that we can, you know, sort of get a handle on this virus. And I think a lot of people really appreciate that.
And that's a good transition to the extraordinary session that the GOP here in New Mexico has been trying to call. Now, we've already talked about this topic, so let's not get in the weeds and kind of fly by this. But the attempt to limit the governor's emergency powers was the topic of this. People, especially the GOP, are upset. Essentially, this went up in flames because there wasn't enough support by legislators for this. I think they needed 3/5 supermajority in both chambers. That didn't happen, of course. But interestingly enough, there was a list of people who were in support of this. And there was one lone Democrat who joined the Republicans here, Jacob Candelaria, a name that comes up what it seems like too much in our chat sometimes right here. He's obviously worked with Ultra Health. It's a medical cannabis provider. He's one of the attorneys on their team. But he's actually said he's planning on taking this to court, according to the Santa Fe New Mexican, specifically over the legality of the allocations of COVID-19 funds. Of course, he's been very vocal about how there's been these sweepstakes for COVID-19 vaccines where people can win $5 million and other times people can win as low as $100,000. What do you make of this, Andy? Is there a real chance that this could be headed to the court real quick, if we can just touch on this?
The thing about filing something with the Supreme Court is and I'm not familiar with what exactly his argument's going to be in the court, the chances of them hearing it are almost guaranteed because they have heard just about everything else. The question is how fast they will hear it. There's some procedural stuff that has to go through there, right? If somebody has to file a petition with the Supreme Court, there's answers and back and forth. And then the Supreme Court finally decides, yes, we're going to take it, or no, we're not going to take it. And then there's a process of whether they just have, you know, filings or oral arguments. So the chances of it's really hard to say what the chances of them siding one way or the other on this is. That it all depends on what sort of argument Jacob Candelaria brings forward. It's the principled nature of him to sort of fight for what he believes is right, regardless of what his party says. And so I think that sort of makes people pause sometimes and say, wait a minute, is this guy really a Democrat? Is he loyal to the party? But, you know, just give it some time and he'll probably argue for something in favor of the governor. Kind of comes across as weird, especially because no other Democrats are agreeing with the Republicans in this. And some of that has to do with the fact that she's still in her first term. We might see things differently if she gets reelected. The adage, lame duck, right? That there's not really any reason to back the governor for political reasons because she's on her way out. That's not obviously this year. So
yeah, it's like you touch on that. It's like almost like a sweetheart honeymoon phase where you don't want to upset each other because it's so new and obviously it can hurt you. But lastly, I do want to talk about the New Mexico Regulation and Licensing Department. They're proposing new rules for cannabis-related stuff. Can you touch really briefly on what's going on there? Is there anything that catches your eye, anything to look out for?
I think the biggest thing to make note of, there's some other minor changes in there as far as licensing and stuff goes. But one thing that everyone's sort of been waiting for with bated breath is how they're going to control production. And now just real briefly, the state law that just passed says that only for a certain amount of time, I think it's until 2026, can the state actually regulate the production level of how much recreational use cannabis is going out. So of course, the regulation and licensing department, which oversees this whole thing, gets to decide that. There's been battles all over the place over plant counts for producers. And for the first time since the law passed, we've seen sort of what they're thinking. And what it is just really simplify it is, at the very most, producers could be growing up to 10,000 mature plants. And the other thing that they sort of specified in these rules that's important related to that is they really specified what a mature plant is. Just for those wondering, a mature plant in their definition that they're pushing forward is in the flowering stage, which means basically any plant with buds on it. So anytime before it starts growing buds, which is generally the smokable part of it, it's considered an immature plant. So, I mean, this could be really big for producers, right? There's been some producers that are pushing for unlimited grows, but now we're talking possibly 8 to 10,000, depending on how much money you have, right? There's different tiers is what they've proposed. And if you have enough money, you could possibly grow up to 10,000 plants, mature plants.
Well, great. That's all the time we have. Andy Lyman, again, is a reporter with NewMexicoPoliticalReport.com. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thanks, Bryce. It's always fun.